Hello, and welcome to the Virtue Podcast. My name is Melanie Brown, and this is the final recording for our series in Revelation. I want to start by saying well done and congratulations. What you've accomplished is no small feat. When we began this study a few months ago, there was a lot of anticipation and excitement, as well as trepidation and fear. I know I'm not the only one who had those mixed emotions. I heard from many of you who shared those same conflicting feelings. So, what are your thoughts about the book of Revelation now? Have you felt God's special blessing? I hope your fear has turned to faith, and that you've gained clarity over what confused you, and that your intimidation has been replaced with greater confidence in who God is and what His Word teaches us about the future because you studied this book. Personally, these lessons required more brain power and concentration than I've ever exerted in the past. Although I've been in women's Bible study for over 20 years, I've never studied through the book of Revelation before. So each week, I was learning something new. How about you? After the first few weeks, I realized that I wasn't getting it all. I mean, honestly, each chapter is packed with so much instruction and illustration. And I started to become anxious. And the Lord had to gently remind me that it was okay. And that it was okay if I wasn't getting it all, at least not in one season, but that He was going to give me enough. He's so gracious that way. He knows how much we can handle and when. And you know what? There's nothing stopping us from going back and rereading, digging deeper, and revisiting some of those chapters or topics that challenged us. And I actually want to encourage you to do that over the summer. I've heard it said that learning is like a building project. First, a foundation is laid, and then we build on what we know through exposure and experiences. And every time you hear a familiar concept, it fortifies or strengthens you. It's like scaffolding, and you just keep building layer upon layer. And hopefully, we'll be lifelong learners, because there's so much God wants to reveal to us. I'm so grateful for the resources that we had available. I was extra attentive to Pastor Greg's Sunday sermon each week because he expounded on each chapter. I needed his 40-minute messages. He really did the heavy lifting and explained these verses in context. And they're all archived if you want to go back and listen. And I love the Virtue Podcast. I don't know where I've been all my life, but I'm just now discovering podcasts. Virtue's podcast was launched just in time for the Revelation series. I couldn't wait to listen to those bite-sized recordings from our talented teachers. I marvel at the variety of gifting our team has, each teacher contributing a unique delivery, allowing their personalities and experiences to come through, and all so anointed. And then I glean so much from my small group. It's one thing to read the chapter on your own, fill out the lesson, and listen to the teaching, but that final step that really seals what I'm learning is talking it through with my friends. It makes the scriptures come alive with relevance and application. Now that we're coming to a close of this season, I think it's a perfect opportunity to ask ourselves some reflection questions. Perhaps you can think through these four questions and then talk about them later with your small group. The first question I want to ask you is, what was the most encouraging verse, story, or lesson from Revelation? For me, the most encouraging part was the unveiling of Jesus, which is what the word revelation means, unveiling. God desires to make Himself known to us. I really appreciated that we started the year studying the Gospel of Mark. That feels like it was so long ago, right? But we saw Jesus in His first coming as the suffering servant, teaching, healing, performing miracles, extending forgiveness, and beckoning us all to come and follow Him. And in the book of Revelation, we see Him in all His glory, authority, holiness, and power. He'll right every wrong and fulfill every promise. We read that He will bring judgment on humanity with just a word from His mouth. He no longer is the baby in the manger, the lamb slain for the sin of the world, but now he is revealed as the Lion of Judah and the conquering king. I loved that Revelation had us focus on Jesus Christ and the fullness of who he is. My second question is, what was the most challenging part of Revelation? I think the shifts in perspectives and keeping track of the timelines was the most challenging part for me. Revelation isn't necessarily written in chronological order. We're so used to reading a beginning, middle, and end with a familiar sequence. But in reading through Revelation, there were some chapters where we were seeing things in the present tense on earth. Then in the next scene, we saw visions of heaven and angels and elders worshiping. And then we were given glimpses of future events waiting to still take place. Keeping track of where I am during this scene or that scene was a little tricky. Can you relate? Kathy reminded me that this is apocalyptic literature. It's a different genre than what we're used to studying. We were encouraged to not get lost in the weeds. That even though there's a lot of symbolism and imagery, we were to keep in mind that John is doing his best to describe futuristic visions using first century language. We were to keep our eye on Jesus. I kept repeating those introductory instructions. The main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. But you know, being challenged is actually a good thing. It's what stretches us and makes us grow. I mentioned that the timeline was what was most challenging for me. And I can tell you that after studying through the entire book, I think I have the sequence in order. And I want to give you a quick recap. The next event on the prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. This is when Jesus comes back and we'll be caught up with him in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 tells us, "The Lord will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." Once we've been taken to heaven, then the Antichrist will emerge during the Great Tribulation period. We learned that anti means instead of Christ as well as against Christ. And during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, the Antichrist will be hailed as a hero and a peacemaker. But then, at the midpoint, he'll show his true colors, that he's evil, and he'll demand to be worshipped and require people to receive a mark on their bodies. And no one will be able to buy or sell in the world without that mark. We learn that during this time, God's righteous judgment will be poured out on a Christ-rejecting world. However, there will be a great revival that takes place. God will use 144,000 witnesses who have been sealed, which means they have special protection from God to proclaim the gospel during the tribulation period. As a result of their ministry, millions will come to faith in Christ. We see God in his great mercy still giving people an opportunity to repent. At the end of the Great Tribulation is the Battle of Armageddon. Meanwhile, sometime during the tribulation on earth, all of heaven will be preparing for the wedding supper of the Lamb, which will be a glorious celebration of all who are in Christ. Then there is the second coming of Christ. This is when we will return with Jesus as he establishes his kingdom during the millennium. Satan will be bound, and there will be a 1,000-year reign where there will finally be world peace, joy, and justice on the earth. There will be no more disabilities, depression, or disease. At the end of the 1,000 years, there will be one last brief rebellion, and then Satan will be cast into the lake of fire, and unbelievers will be raised back to life to be judged at the great white throne judgment. And finally, after sin, Satan, and rebellion have been permanently dealt with, God's ultimate plan is to bring heaven and earth together. He will not abandon his creation. He will restore it, and it will be so wonderful beyond anything we can imagine. And we'll dwell with Jesus for eternity. Wow, that's a lot to take in, isn't it? We have eaten of his word, and it has been a hearty meal, hasn't it, ladies? And we need time to digest it all. I just want to encourage you, even the most seasoned saints are connecting dots and piecing things together. Everyone has learned so much this year. And if you're new and you're hearing these things for the first time, don't get overwhelmed. Just keep looking at Jesus. Jesus, who's perfect and kind and gracious and loving and just, keep your eye on him. My third question is, what obstacles did you have to overcome through the study? For me, continuing to serve and be committed to Bible study through a pandemic was an obstacle I had to overcome. But I saw God's perfect timing even in this. Studying this prophetic book made the craziness of what's going on in the world more manageable. It kept things in proper perspective. I realized I didn't have to fall apart or go into a full-blown panic just because the world was reacting that way. Staying tethered to the Word of God, eyes focused on Jesus, and having fellowship with like-minded women allowed me to grow and flourish in my faith. The other obstacle, if I'm honest, was navigating and utilizing Zoom. I'm so technically challenged, and just the mere thought of logging in and managing the group members felt so overwhelming at times. And then if they couldn't log in for some reason, I felt so responsible. So I'm sorry if that was your experience, and thank you for persevering in the midst of your frustration. But I'll tell you this, as stressful as it was at times, I'm so grateful to have harnessed that technology, especially at the height of quarantine, because I never felt alone or abandoned, because I continued meeting with my sisters, although it looked different than I had ever done in the past. And the last question, question number four, is what are you most thankful for? What are you most thankful for? I'm most thankful for God's faithfulness. Whenever and wherever we seek him, whether it's in person at church, in our homes, at a coffee shop, or on a computer, he shows up. Every single week without fail, after my group time was over, I would say out loud, "Lord, you are so faithful. Thank you for your word." I don't think I've ever been more grateful for the word of God that's tried and true than I have this year. Scripture tells us the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. As believers, it's our rock and solid foundation that we stand upon. It's immovable, dependable, and relevant. It's timeless and it's timely, especially in our culture today where the world has rejected absolute truth and has embraced relativism, where opinions and values are constantly changing. We have the assurance and the promises of God's word. It directs our steps, shapes our thoughts, gives us meaning and purpose in our lives right now, and it gives us hope for the future. And I'm also so thankful for the women, these incredible virtue women that God has placed in my life, both the old friends that I've been serving the Lord with for over a decade and the brand new believers God has allowed me to disciple this year. I've learned so much from all of them. In closing, what is our response to everything that we've received? What should we do now? Do you remember way back in chapter 1, God specifically said, "I will bless you when you read, hear, and keep the words of this book"? Well, you and I have read the scriptures, 23 full chapters of Revelation with 404 verses. I know that because I counted them. And we've heard the words. Words of warning, instruction, and encouragement. We heard them through the Sunday morning messages, on the podcasts, and in the discussion within our small groups. Now we must keep the words of this book. Keeping God's word means treasuring it, paying attention to it and being obedient to what it says. God has given us these glimpses into the future to help us wake up and pay attention to what's going on around us and to exhort us to live godly lives because Jesus Christ is coming back again. I feel like God has rekindled a fire in my heart, and I hope He's done that for you too. I hope this study has motivated us to love and trust Jesus more as we recognize that He has a great plan for the future. And I also pray that we have a greater desire and urgency to share the gospel. He truly is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is on the throne, in control, and we know how the story ends, and it's glorious. So let's continue to trust, worship, persevere in the face of affliction, and keep praying, sharing, and loving Him. Well, ladies, I hope this recap blessed you, and I'm excited for you guys to get into your small groups and to share what has been an encouragement to you this year, what has challenged you, maybe share some of those obstacles that the Lord had you overcome, and what you're most thankful for this year. And I want to encourage you to stay connected even throughout the summer. We'll be seeing you. God bless you, girls.